Hey everyone, and welcome to Murder and Mysteries with Megan. If you are new here, thank you for joining us and welcome to my channel. And if you're not new here, thank you for coming back for a brand new video this week. This week's video is going to be just a little bit different than the typical true crime cases that we normally cover. In fact, we're going to be talking about some of the most haunted and paranormal places in North Carolina. But before we get started, make sure to hit that subscribe button and that post notification bell, so that way, every time that I upload a new video, that you will be notified. So without further ado, let's get into the video. Before we get started on five of some of the most haunted places or paranormal places in North Carolina, I wanted to let you guys know at the end of today's video, there will also be a bonus story of a personal experience that I had growing up in my grandparents' old home as well. So make sure you stick around till the end of the video so that you can hear my personal experience as well. Number one, the Omni Grove Park Inn in Asheville, North Carolina, the Pink Lady. As the story goes, in the early 1920s, there was a beautiful young woman in a pink dress that tragically fell to her death from a balcony at the Grove Park Inn in Asheville, North Carolina. Now, it's rumored to be that this girl was a local servant girl who worked for a house nearby, the Grove Park Inn. She'd been having an affair with the man of the house and actually had ended up becoming pregnant. And of course, when he found out and trying to hide his secret affair with the servant girl and the fact that she had become pregnant with his illegitimate child, he then threw her off of the balcony. This girl was rumored to have been staying in room 545 at the Grove Park Inn, and this to this day is one of the more haunted rooms in this hotel. For years, there were rumors about the so-called Pink Lady, who had been dubbed by locals, actually, who had experienced different, you know, things they couldn't quite explain while staying at the Grove Park Inn. Now, some of these people would stay in room 545, and it's actually known to be one of the more active rooms in the hotel. However, not all sightings have been just in room 545. Now, two of the stories about room 545 are eerily similar. There was a painter who actually worked between like the 1950s and the 1980s for the Grove Park Inn as they were doing some remodeling and things like that. And he said that at one point he actually had been called to check on something in room 545. Well, when he got to the room, the closer he got, the stranger he felt. He started getting shivers and chills down his spine, and his hair was standing up on end, and he just had an uneasy feeling. In fact, this was his quote here. "As I got closer to room 545, I got cold chills that got worse the closer I came to the door. It got so bad I couldn't even get the courage to walk in at all. In fact, to my last day at the hotel, I never did go back in there. I sent my boys in instead." Now, the second story that is similar to this in the way that the person felt and the things that he experienced was an engineer there, actually, at the hotel who had been hired by the hotel. This was actually the engineering manager. And the way that he worded his experience was this. "One day in early 1995, I was on my way to check a recent bathtub resurfacing that was going on in room 545. As I approached the room, my hair suddenly lifted from my scalp and stood on end on my arms. Simultaneously, I felt very uncomfortable. Cold rushed across my whole body. I didn't go in, haven't gone back, and don't ever intend to. The strangest thing about these two different accounts is that neither one of them had heard about the haunting or room 545 or the Pink Lady even. They had never heard about this until after their experiences, when other people, of course, then were like, hey, did you hear about this? And this person had this experience as well. And of course, you know how that goes. But before that, neither one of them had known anything about the Pink Lady. Of course, throughout the years, there have been many different experiences with the Pink Lady and the Grove Park Inn, from lights flickering on and off in the hallways and in main areas, and even in different bedrooms at the hotel, to windows opening and closing on their own, toilets flushing on their own, to even more visible sightings of apparitions, so to speak. Some of the workers actually described seeing a lady in pink that was so real that they actually thought she was a guest at the hotel. And whenever they turned around back around to help her, she'd be gone. Now, others, of course, would describe this as a pink mist, and that's the way they saw the Pink Lady. So it's people don't always see her the same. She could either be anywhere from slight knocks on the walls or the, you know, lights flickering or things like that, to full-blown apparitions where people literally thought it was somebody staying at the hotel. Another interview with an employee, Dave Bergen, who was a bellman at the Grove Park Inn at the time, actually had an experience himself that was pretty peculiar. And I almost wish I had these photographs, but unfortunately I don't. So in his interview, he says, it was 3 a.m. in front of the fireplace. A lady showed up and I took a picture. She wasn't there. The next picture, she was there. And then she disappeared. Kind of strange. And unfortunately, in the interview, they didn't show his pictures that he supposedly took, and I couldn't find them online, but that would be pretty cool to have a picture of an actual ghost 1 second and in the same place taking another and her being gone. So, most people have had experiences with the Pink Lady at the Grove Park Inn. And when they did, they stated that they didn't feel fear, that they felt like she was friendly and that this was a friendly ghost, so to speak. Number two, Lydia's Bridge in Greensboro, North Carolina. Now, I've heard this one called Lydia's Bridge. I've also heard it just Lydia's area, because it's actually technically between two bridges. The old original bridge used to have the road go underneath. Now it's actually been moved and there's a second bridge, but this all takes place within the area of these two bridges in Greensboro, North Carolina. So this next haunted location, of course, like we said, is located in Greensboro, North Carolina. This story began to circulate about 100 years ago and has continued ever since. In 1924, a man by the name of Burke Hardison actually gave his account of one thing that he saw on a rainy and foggy night while heading home to High Point, which is not far from where he was in Greensboro. This particular account actually is very, very, very similar to everyone else who has seen Lydia. Now, I say Lydia because at the end of this story, we'll find out a little bit more details about who this ghost actually is. Now, on this particular evening, as Burke is driving back home to High Point in North Carolina, he is driving right past this bridge in Greensboro. On this night, he was not sure, but he saw what he thought was a woman standing on the side of the road and hitchhiking. She looked like she was wearing a beautiful white prom dress. So, of course, seeing a younger woman on the side of the road in need of help and trying to wave him down, he pulls over to the side of the road and says, "Can I help you?" Well, after he says this, she says, Yes, please help me. I need a ride home. I don't have a ride. I need to get home." So he says, "Oh, of course, come on, I'll take you home." She gives him directions and they drive on down to where she said was her home. Now, this is only a few miles down the road from where he originally had picked her up. As he arrives at the home, he gets out of the vehicle. He walks around to let the young girl out and open the door for her, like a gentleman should. And when he does this, he realizes she's gone. This young woman in this white prom dress is no longer in his car. Where had she gone? So, completely stunned and flabbergasted and thinking, where the heck did she go? He goes and he knocks on the door. And when he knocks on the door of this home, a woman answers and says, "That was my daughter. She was killed in an accident about a year ago." Of course, there was no more information that he got at that time. He was still quite stunned by what had happened. I mean, he had just given a ghost a ride home. So that's kind of where his story ends. And from there on, that's kind of where everybody else's story ended as well. Now, some people report actually making it to Lydia's home. Some people claim just seeing her on the side of the road. And some others say that they stop to help. And when they turn around to look to see if she's coming towards the car, she's not there. She's disappeared. So most of the accounts happen on foggy evenings as well. And there was some research, of course, people and local families, and because of the local folklore and the story going around, a lot of people had interest in this case around North Carolina, wondering, okay, who is this girl? What is going on? What is the real story here? And who is this ghost? Is her name Lydia? Is she someone else? We need to find out. Well, in more recent years, there's actually been a couple of investigators, Amy Greer and Michael Renegar. And I hope I'm saying those names right, guys. If not, I apologize. They came across an article in the newspaper on from June 21st of 1920. Now, this was printed in the Greensboro Patriot. This particular article had detailed a fatal accident of a car that had accidentally thrown a young woman from the vehicle as it flipped over. Now, this young woman's name was actually Annie. So that's why at the beginning of the story I said Lydia's Bridge. Now, many people, local and others alike, who have heard the story of Lydia's Bridge, a lot of them seem to believe that this Annie is actually really the girl who haunts the bridge in Greensboro, North Carolina. It was actually the only article and the only fatal accident that was in public record that people could find around the time that Burke originally had told his story back in 1924. So that is why a lot of people actually do believe that the woman in white in the beautiful prom dress that was originally picked up by Burke was an Annie. Number 3, The Ghost of Grandfather Mountain in Boone, North Carolina. In western North Carolina, near a small town called Boone, lies a state park called Grandfather Mountain State Park. Now, this is a highly sought-after area when people come to visit the Carolina Mountains for tourists and even locals alike. Not only to enjoy the trails and fresh air, the Mile High Swinging Bridge, or just the gorgeous views of the western North Carolina mountains, but it holds another type of wonder. A paranormal wonder. Hikers, tourists, and locals have either heard this story or had experiences themselves. If you too stay till dusk, potentially you could have a paranormal experience here too. As the sun goes down on the top of the mountains in western North Carolina, a ghost hiker may come out to play. In fact, people have described this ghost hiker as an older man. He looked like he'd had a hard life. He was very sullen and had a lot of stress on his face. Now, he also was wearing what people describe as 1950s worker clothing as well when people have seen him. His look complete with a large bushy beard. So this is the description that many different people have actually given of this phantom hiker that they have seen. And all of the descriptions are very similar to one another. None of the hikers have ever been able to make contact with this phantom hiker of Grandfather Mountain, despite all of their attempts. He either disappeared, walked past them, or just completely ignored them and disappeared around the corner after they had passed him. Some people would turn around to try to talk to him and find him again once they had passed him on the trail, and to no avail. Now, some of these people and a lot of locals actually believed that this man, this phantom of Grandfather Ridge, actually, that he was a man who had gone up on a hike one day on Grandfather Mountain and had untimely fallen to his death and never was able to find his way back out to find his way home. Number 4. The Devil's Tramping Ground, Bear Creek, North Carolina. In a camping ground near Bear Creek, North Carolina, there is a place that is barren. It won't grow any kind of wildlife. From weeds to grass to plants that have actually been transplanted into this circle, nothing will grow here. In fact, nothing seems to want to stay in this circle at all. From life forms to even things that have been placed there by campers, only to find out later that it's outside of this circle or has been thrown or just disappeared and is no longer there. Some people have experienced this strange phenomenon and even had the experience of seeing red eyes glowing from the center of this circle. Now, nothing has grown inside of this circle for many years. In some places, I have heard that definitively it has not grown anything of over 100 years. The family that currently owns the for that time period and know that nothing has grown there in that time. Now, it's rumored to have been centuries that nothing has grown here, which makes this even stranger. Now, this particular circle is about 40 feet in width, and they've even had local experts come out. In fact, there was a local man who lived nearby who was a soil expert. His last name was Hayes. He actually came out to this circle, the Devil's Tramping Ground, and decided to test the soil to see if there were any abnormal things in the soil that would indicate as to why, things weren't growing here and what was going on to why it wouldn't support any kind of wildlife. Nothing came back. He didn't find any weird abnormalities or anything that would cause to be poison to plants to cause things not to grow there. In fact, he said, as far as scientific proof, he's not been able to find anything as to why this phenomenon exists. Of course, with something so strange like this, as a circle that won't grow anything, no wildlife. In the middle of a freaking forest, guys. Okay, this isn't just some random barren circle somewhere. This is in the middle of a forest. And any forest I've ever been in is covered in moss and trees and ferns and branches and bushes and shrubbery and everything. But in the middle of a forest like this, there is a circle that is about 40 feet wide that grows nothing. Now, of course, this is gaining some traction around the area, and everybody knows about it and hears about it. And there's been many different theories as to why nothing will grow in this area. There have been ones from it was a UFO landing site, and because of the radiation or whatever the aliens brought down or used to fly their ship is what actually killed all the wildlife in the circle, and that's why nothing grows there. Because of the radiation or the poisoning from whatever this was from their ship. Now, that is one of the theories. Another theory is that this is actually an Indian chief's burial ground, and his name was Croatoan. And as honor towards him and, to honor his memory, the gods kept it barren out of respect. So that's a second potential experience and theory as to what happened here. Now, more recently, there has been another theory that has come out. This particular theory is one that they're trying to use to actually rename. I don't know if they've officially renamed the area or not, but some people are trying to rename it the Chatham County Vortex. They say that this particular spot is actually the anchor site of pure energy, which is why it's causing it to be barren. Now, there's more to it than that. A lot more details were given in the article that I saw about it. However, the main idea of it was that this is an anchor site for pure energy, and it is burning up all the life forms, and it won't grow there. So that's another theory that has come about within the last few years. Now, probably the most popular theory, which is why it's called the Devil's Tramping Grounds, is this one. The most popular lore surrounding this desolate circle is one just a little bit more sinister than a UFO or pure energy anchor site. Locals and visitors alike, I'm sure, have heard this story for years and years and years, and we'll probably continue to hear this version of events as it's passed down generation through generation. In fact, of course, with the seeing the red eyes and other experiences that people have had, you'll see why that kind of goes along with this whole devil's tramping ground. Here's how the story goes. Every night at midnight, the devil comes up from the depths of hell to walk in circles. In this circle, contemplating his evil and sinister plans for the world. Now, as he goes through and walks in this circle, he tramples down all of the life forms and all of the plants and anything living to the ground and kills them. anything found in the circle, he rids of inside the circle or kicks outside the circle as he's trampling around. So if you find yourself passing through Chatham County while driving near Harper's Crossroads, particularly late at night, and you see something moving in the woods, would you dare to stop and see if the legend of the devil's tramping ground is true? Number 5, the Grand Old Lady Hotel, Balsam, North Carolina. Built originally in the early 1900s for those traveling to stop and stay to recover after a long trip, the Grand Old Lady Hotel in Balsam, North Carolina was easily accessible for those who had been traveling by train through the town. In fact, there had been a small depot right below the hotel, right by the train tracks, so it was very convenient for those who were traveling by train to go up the hill and stay the night at the Grand Old Lady Hotel. Now, at this time, this, of course, was went by a different name. This three-story inn has been around for over 100 years now, and many different people have shared their experiences and hauntings through the years. And even though the name of this hotel has changed, it's changed from Balsam Mountain Springs Hotel to Balsam Mountain Inn to now the Grand Old Lady Hotel. Despite the name change, guests' experiences with the paranormal remain the same. In fact, there are two particular rooms in this hotel that are seemingly more haunted than the rest. In fact, in these two specific rooms, in room 205 and 207, they put a guest book for different people who have stayed there to account their different paranormal experiences. There are reports from guests staying in room 205 or other rooms of the hotel stating that the doorknobs would turn like somebody was trying to enter the room. However, nobody would be on the other side of the door trying to come in. There would be other stories saying that a ghost opened the window in their bedroom. There would be others saying that they actually felt like someone had been giving them a back rub in the middle of the night and they thought it was their spouse, only to wake up the next morning and realize they had no idea what they were talking about, and the spouse had been asleep for hours prior to the back rub that they had been receiving. Others report laughing in the halls, hearing children's voices, banging on the hallway walls and doors as the ghostly figures would pass by. Other people would say that they, while sleeping, would have not a back rub, but they would have their sheets pulled off of them and their covers moved around as they slept, and things being moved or thrown about the rooms as they left or, you know, were out of the room for a while, things would go missing. Some have even reported seeing a woman dressed in blue on the balcony of the second floor near room 205 and 207. There have been many different experiences similar to this throughout the hotel and from many different guests over 100 years. But if you got a chance to stay in room 205 or in room 207, would you stay at the Grand Old Lady Hotel?